Beloved, the Lord Jesus will speak to you this evening through the wisdom literature, remembering that he is wisdom. The word, when it says, and the word was God, the word is actually in the Greek logos, and it could be translated logic, possibly it could be translated wisdom. So Jesus is wisdom, and he's going to give you wisdom tonight through the wisdom literature. We're going to turn to Proverbs chapter 6. If you have the notes, I'm noticing I have it incorrect. It's not Proverbs chapter 3, it's Proverbs chapter 6. And we will be looking together at verses 6 through 8. And I've been thinking about how much this emphasized working and not taking too many breaks. And so one thing I want to point out to you is this is the day of rest. The Lord does give us one day in seven to rest. All day he commands us to rest. The other 6 days he commands us to work. 6 days to work. So that we use them well and then have one day where we can just really rest. We will rest in heaven, although we'll be working in some ways. But I do want to emphasize there are other proverbs, there is other wisdom literature that emphasizes not getting up too early and staying up really late. There's a place for rest, of course, and there's a place to not overwork. We did talk about those kinds of things as we went through the larger catechism with the Ten Commandments. So I want to say that because the emphasis could sound like never take a break ever. And of course, that's not the case, as evidenced by the fact that we're here resting today. But this is a scripture that is particularly good for us to be thinking about as we prepare for the work day tomorrow and for our work week, the next 6 days ahead of us. Proverbs chapter 6, verses 6 to 8, this is the very word of God. Go to the ant, thou sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise, which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest. Let me read that one more time. Go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways, and be wise, which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer, and gathereth her food in the harvest. Well, as you know, we are going through scriptures right now in the evening. We're taking a break from preaching through a book. I think it'll probably be a month or so before we do begin Matthew, because we've had a lot of requests, which has been an encouragement to me, and I've been very much enjoying preaching through these scriptures that you requested. This scripture was requested by Elder Ron Renner, and he shared actually some really helpful stories you'll hear along the way about how he has gone and looked and studied the ant himself. And I asked him, why are you asking for this? It's helpful to think about together. And he said, well, when I go hiking, I like to think of this proverb, go to the ant, and I like to stop and I like to find an ant hill, and I like to study that ant hill, and then I like to watch the ants coming out. I like to hone in on one ant and watch that one ant and study it, as the proverb tells me to. He says, and what you learn, you kind of know, but when you study it, it's just so amazing. That ant is so diligent, hard working. Constantly working, getting things done, finishing tasks, accomplishing things. And Proverbs 6 tells us to go to the ant to be like her. He said, you know, as a manager, this is something that I always have on my mind, wishing that others would be so self-motivated and hardworking as this ant. He says it's also encouraging for him to motivate him when he's tempted to slow down. Go to the ant. Work hard. I think the text teaches us mainly something like this. Lazy people, notice who it addresses. Lazy people are told to watch and copy the independent work ethic of ants, so that they survive and thrive. I couldn't help but think to myself of what is often referred to as the Protestant work ethic. I'm not so sure it really exists anymore today. But when there was a Protestant Reformation, it affected the economy. And when the Protestants left certain areas, it affected the economy negatively. Both in Europe and America, you can read stories about this. Even my understanding is in books on economics that aren't anything to do with Christianity. Because they understood what God would have them do to be hard workers, redeeming the time in and out of season, glorifying God truly, not only in eating and drinking, but whatsoever else they do, and especially what we're supposed to do with most of our time, 6 out of 7 days of the week, work. Lazy people are told to watch and copy the independent work ethic of ants so that they survive and thrive. Business Insider magazine, in their finance section online, shares the 13 most common reasons you are likely to get fired from your job. I'm not going to share all 13 with you for sake of time, but I'm going to highlight a few. You want to keep your job out there? Okay, well then learn from some wisdom here. Business Insider, the 13 most common reasons you're likely to get fired from your job. I'm going to skip past 13 down to number 10. Number 10, refusing to following orders. Refusing to follow directions. That's the number 10 most common reason you're likely to get fired from work. Refusing to follow orders and directions. Now, you may give lip service to it, perhaps, but you don't actually do it. Number 6 of the top 13 reasons you most likely to get fired from work, sleeping on the job. Keep that, again, in mind with who is being addressed in the scripture tonight. Number 4, top reason you might get fired, absenteeism and bad timekeeping. That is not showing up or showing up late. The number 1 most likely reason that you could get fired from your job is this. 2 words. Poor performance. You do a bad job. All those other things, especially the ones I highlight, I think really could all be categorized under that. Poor performance. You do a lousy job. You can't be counted on to do good work. You have to be constantly managed just to sort of do an average, maybe average job. You can't follow orders and directions. You sleep on the job figuratively, if not literally. You don't show up on time if you show up. You ultimately just don't do a good job. Poor performance. Number 1 reason you're going to get fired. I've fired people in workplaces, and that's absolutely the reason I fired them. You want to get a good job? You want to keep a good job? Do you want to succeed in a good job? Do you want to advance in a good job? Do you want to improve your life by making a better living for yourself? I trust the answer is yes to all those questions, so here's the answer of how to do it. Act like ants. You want to thrive in the workplace and improve your opportunity for yourself and your family? Act like ants. That's the message. Act like ants. Ants. Be honest with yourself tonight as we study this. Can you say this positively describes you? The description of the ant. Could somebody say, wow, that guy's an ant. That gal's an ant at work. That is exactly what I think of when I think of this person. Be honest with yourself. Can you say that about you? If so, great. If not, act like an ant starting tomorrow. Pastor's orders, your job duty. Number 1 job duty Jesus gives to you is go out tomorrow and act like an ant in your whatever the Lord has for your calling in life. Be self-motivated, self-sufficient, and self-managing team workers. That's the first thing the ant teaches us. Be self-motivated, self-sufficient, and self-managing team workers. Look at verse 7. Which having no guide, overseer, or ruler. Look at that. No guide. I don't have to have somebody hold my hand every step of the way and show me what to do. Especially if I've been doing the job for a while. Overseer. I don't have to have my manager there looking over my shoulder to make sure I do the work. Or ruler. I don't have to have my boss there so that I act like I want my job. What we see here first is what the aunt does not do is what you're supposed to copy. She doesn't sit around waiting for direction. She doesn't sit around waiting for directions. No doubt ants have a queen, but she's not out on the work field, right? She's not there watching them, barking orders at them. They don't have a boss there. They're out there on their own. The point is the ant manages herself. Thus, the ant is management material. This, I guarantee you, I've been here. I've been in the workplace. I have managed. I've been a director. And I'm not trying to brag. I am trying to say, I know this is true. I've been there. It's why I advanced pretty early in life. And it's why other people advanced under me, who I chose, based on whether they did this stuff or didn't do it. You are looking for someone that you can trust to manage themselves so you don't have to babysit them all the time. So a person you look to be a manager is a person that self-manages. Go to the ant. That's exactly what you see. The ant doesn't have to be told to find something to do. The ant finds new things that can be done and brings them to the manager for consideration. This is why a lot of the other workers hate her. Because now we got more work to do. The ant doesn't have to be told twice. The ant doesn't have to have a person come back. You remember how we talked about you're going to get that done? Did you do that yet? No, sorry, I haven't gotten to that. I forgot about it. Or you're doing what I didn't tell you to do, and I don't need you to do that. I need you to do this. Why didn't you do what I asked you to do? Ant doesn't ever have to have that conversation. The ant never has to be asked more than once to get done what they've been asked to do or they've committed to do. The ant also, notice, however, is a team player. What do I mean? Well, let's go to the ant. You never see an ant alone. Oh, you may see a few scout ants here or there, but what if we see a scout ant in our kitchen? What's the first thing we do? Where are the rest? They're never alone. Ants are never alone. They are always working together. Though they are so small, together they form an effective army. That's just amazing. They form an effective army. An army of soldiers that get work done together, working together, who know how to follow orders and accomplish them. Think of Matthew 8. The centurion comes to Jesus, this ruler of at least 100 soldiers, right? The Roman Empire. And he comes to Jesus. He says, look, I have a sick servant at home. Would you please heal my servant? And here's the amazing thing. I think more it's really demonstrating the idea of faith, because Jesus comments on his amazing faith. But the centurion, you know, Jesus says, okay, he's going to go to the home to heal the servant. And Jesus, the centurion, says to Jesus, you don't have to come to my house to heal my servant. You can just say he's healed, and I know he'll be healed. Recognizing Christ's authority over everything in life. You don't even have to come and oversee it, Jesus. You can just say it will be done, and it will be so. And that proved to be the case. What did he give as his example? Look, I recognize your authority, so I trust the people working for you do, and will get it done. He says, just like me. Again, he's a manager of at least 100 soldiers. He says, I say go, and they go. I say come, and they come. I say do this, and they do it. That's what Jesus expects of you in every area of life. 2 Timothy 2, verse 3, you are told to be good soldiers of Jesus Christ. Know your orders and carry them out. And don't be found not carrying them out. Let me tell you, you're hearing me quote a lot from Norman Schwarzkopf's autobiography, and you will again tonight. Something that comes to mind, I hadn't planned to mention, but you know how often he's cleaning up a mess of people from top down who are just not doing anything, not getting their job done, and literally were this close to being killed by the Viet Cong because of it. Sometimes do get killed because of it. But they're just unbelievably lazy. And they don't carry out their basic orders. It's unbelievable. You need to be like ants. You need to be trusted to manage your own selves. You need to be trusted to manage your own work and see it through to its completion. You need to be able to be the kind of person that when somebody asks you to go do something, not just in work but in church, they know they don't have to go ask you later, did you get it done? Because they know you'll get it done. Proverbs 30, verses 24 to 28. There be four things which are little upon the earth, but they are exceeding wise. The ants are a people not strong, yet they prepare their meat in the summer. The conies are but a feeble folk, yet make their houses in the rocks. The locusts have no king, yet go they forth all of them by bands. The spider taketh hold with her hands and is in king's palaces. The point is, so should you be. If these little insects can do that, so should people be able to say that of you. Or maybe they're going to go to the ant to hire them over you. Be organized. A lot of times the reason people don't get things done is they're not organized. They never take notes. They never think about it after you've talked about it with them. Be resourceful. A lot of times people don't get things done because you get one hiccup and they throw their hands up in the air along with all the work directions they were supposed to get done rather than figure out a way to make it work and get around it. Don't go looking for problems. Go and find solutions. A manager is going to want to have from you not coming back complaining, I couldn't do it because I didn't have the manager wants to say, well, what did you do about it? All I'm hearing from you is complaints and problems. Come back to me with solutions to these problems. That is what the ant does. The ant never stops working because something's in the way. Let me tell you, you've heard it many times. I can't stop the ants no matter what I do on my grapefruit tree. It is unbelievable. Morning, noon, and night. Summer, spring, winter, fall. I shoot them with water hose. I really go after them for a while. I spray them with poison. Nothing stops them. They just laugh at me and work around, that's all you got. And they work around me. Take initiative. By the way, remember men in our study of manhood a few years ago? That's the number one sign of manhood. Take initiative. Don't wait for someone to ask you to do something. Don't wait for others to figure out a problem. Certainly, don't abdicate your responsibility to lead and wait for your women to figure it out for you and then complain that women are taking over the world. Take initiative, especially men. Although notice, it's a female being highlighted tonight. In the Hebrew as well, it's a female we're talking about with an ant. Own your work. Take pride in a job well done. Take pride in getting a job done. If you just get your job done, you're going to be better than most people out there. And if you get it done on time, let me tell you something. Even if it's not Dell 1, it's done well, it's going to stand out, I guarantee you. And then take pride not only getting it done on time, but doing it well and getting it done early and saying, what's next? Well, I have a few ideas. I've already started on a few of them. Let me run them by you, boss. Don't wait. Work. Have vision. Look ahead. Anticipate. You must responsibly manage yourselves when no one's watching. Always, everywhere. In every season, always be working. In every season, always be working. Look at verse 8. Provideth her meat in the summer, and gathereth her food in the harvest. Now, we looked at what she doesn't do, what she doesn't have to be told to do. She doesn't have to be managed. But now what we see is what she does do. Of course, implied with the other part is she manages herself. But here, a little more positively, what she does do. She prepares and she gathers. She plans, she thinks ahead. She uses every season and every opportunity to get ahead on life. She's not showing up late. She's not showing up unprepared because she's thinking ahead and she's preparing to be early and have what she needs ready in hand. She anticipates things that will get in the way of that and comes up with ways to keep it from stopping it. She does not make excuses. She plans and she uses every season. The result is what? She has her food. Possessive. She earns her keep because she has owned her work. She has her own stuff. and she has stuff to give to other people. She provides for her family. Keep that in view with what we study tonight in the teaching and memorization time of the shorter catechism. What are the duties required in the eighth commandment? We're required to procure and further the wealth and outward estate of ourselves and others. And so you'll see the verse, memory verse, Genesis 30, verse 30. Jacob's complaining to Laban, look, I keep blessing you and you keep ripping me off over a long period of time. I need to take care of my family. It's time to pay up. Or I'm looking for a new job, essentially. Yeah, she recognizes the responsibility that she's got other people relying on her. She's like the Proverb 31 woman. What's highlighted about her? Hard worker, resourceful, prepares ahead, and gets the job done. Takes care of her family's needs, and thus her husband and her children praise her for it. I was listening to the radio this week driving on the news, and I thought this was interesting. You know, maybe you've heard we have this thing called a drought going on in California. You're probably aware of that. So what you might not have heard, and I wasn't aware of, is apparently San Diego is doing the best. We have our issues and our challenges, but the guy was saying, there's an interview going on. He said, San Diego is in a much better situation. You'd probably be glad to hear this if you haven't. Is in a much better situation than the rest of California, or at least Southern California, I forget. Why? He said, because they started 14 years ago. Building up the dams of the reservoirs to be able to hold more water. He said, the problem with the drought right now is we should have been getting ready for it years ago. We should have been having these conversations years ago. We should have been coming up with and executing solutions years ago. And now we're all like, oh, we have no water. What did you do about it? You should have gone to the end. But they said, San Diego is different. He says, we're in a much better situation with our water storage. Why? Because we started years ago. He says, because San Diegans understand that, yes, we're going to get our wet seasons. And Lord willing, it sounds like we may have one coming soon, hopefully. But he says, the thing is, San Diegans, remember, you got to prepare with those wet seasons because we're going to have dry seasons. It's a cycle of life. And you can't just be all, you know, high on the hog when things are going well, and then, oh no, drought! Didn't see that one coming. It's because you couldn't look beyond your nose, dummy, let alone look down at the ant. But thankfully, San Diego is a good example to us of preparing ahead for the next season of drought. Think of Aesop's fable. You've probably thought about this. The ant and the grasshopper. What's the story? You know the story. The ant is working on that ear of corn, that cob of corn, and oh, working so hard in the summertime and so beautiful out. But all you can do is find that ant sweating away, working on the corn, getting it all down the hole. And then the grasshopper comes by. What's up, man? Why are you working so hard? Come on, it's summertime. Come with me. Come play with me. Oh, worry about the fall when the fall comes. And I said, no way. I got to get ready for winter here. And later, fall, winter, as the grasshopper is now dying for lack of nutrition, it observes the ant and the ant colony eating lots of food, easily going to make it through winter. Why? Because she prepared ahead. She had vision and thought ahead. And so I never thought about that. You have to think about that. You have to think ahead. Go to the ant. Another illustration that really struck out to me from Elder Renner on his hike. One of his hikes, he said he noticed the ants like to eat certain flowers, tiny flowers off of a bush and little needles, I guess, off of the bush. And so he picked some of those flowers and needles off the bush and brought them over and put them right outside the anthill to see what would happen. He said within minutes, those ants were coming up out of the hole in droves and swarming over this opportunity. Here's another illustration for you. When you think to watch that and go to the ant, they did not waste an opportunity that was dropped right at their doorstep. How many times do we see that with people? Why didn't you use that thing I sent to you? Why didn't you read that thing I sent to you? Why didn't you recognize it? Oh, I didn't know. Why didn't you know? Well, because you weren't looking. You're not looking ahead. You're not preparing. You wasted an opportunity dropped right at your doorstep. But the ant never does that. You smell that? I'm not even sure, but we better go find out. Hey, oh yeah, food right outside the door. Come on. They're all up there. They don't mess around. Unbelievable, they're all saying, you know, and probably they wanted to worship Elder Renner, and thankfully, hopefully he got out of there before they did. You know, this great, mighty person dropped food at our doorstep. But they didn't just say, they go, that's something else. Can you believe that? You know, maybe tomorrow when we get up there to go swimming, why don't we see if it's still there, and if so, maybe we'll try to bring it down with us. Yeah, okay, that's a good idea. It's gone by the time you get there, right? But that's how we act. Opportunities dropped right in our lap, and we say, hey, I'm going to think about that. If you just took opportunities that were given you, you'd be in a whole different place. Be like ants. Take advantage of providential opportunities and maximize them. Be aggressive responders. You can't necessarily be in charge of what comes to you, but when it comes to you, don't let it pass you by. Start early. Finish the job. You know, I am not a morning person. I've often confessed to you. And I often am up quite late. But I have found when I really push myself to get up early anyways, which I cannot brag is frequent, but really early, and I work for a few hours before breakfast, I say to my wife, I can't believe how much work I got done already. See, because some of it is I don't have any distractions or interruptions. I'm not talking about my children. I'm talking about just stuff that comes up during the day. And I say, I'm so ahead. I feel like Rocky, you know. I can't believe how much time I have to do stuff. You know, usually I feel so behind. Get up early and take advantage of the opportunity and finish the job. Ants never play. Anybody ever see the ants out there with, you know, a racket hitting the ball back and forth, you know, on rollerblades? Woo-hoo! You know, do you ever see an ant ever playing? Never. They are always working. They never play. Beloved, be careful not to give too much time and priority to recreation. There's a place for it. But we give too much of a place for it. And we neglect the more important things. We don't end up having time to get things done, including for church, including for the kingdom work. That always comes last. Because after we're done working, then we throw in our recreation. And if we get that done, maybe we find a little time to do the things for church we said we would get done. Don't give too much time to recreation so that you do not neglect greatness, especially for the kingdom work that you're called to do. In and out of season, you are always on the clock for Jesus Christ, and he is not impressed if you don't get his work done because you were busy playing. I mean, redeem the time. The days are evil, right? I mean, what do we learn in Psalm 90 tonight singing it? You won't live very long. Number your days and make the most of them. And you're not going to say later, I'm so glad I got that extra whatever recreation in. Who cares when you neglected important kingdom work? Matthew 25, verses 14 and following. The kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling. His manager, he goes on a business trip and he leaves work. He entrusts work to those who are behind and are going to have to manage themselves. To the servants that took his resources, that he invested in them, to the servants that invested his resources and produced something with them, he said at his return, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Remember, we're talking about the kingdom of heaven. We're talking about church work right now. To the servant who risked nothing, and therefore the servant that produced nothing, the manager come back and says, thou wicked and slothful servant. Take therefore the talent from him and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. I can't count on you to get the work done. I'm going to give it to somebody else. The guy that got the work done. It says more than that. But I give you Proverbs 10, verse 5. He that gathereth in summer is a wise son. But he that sleepeth in harvest is a son that causeth shame. You want to honor your parents? Always be found working. Not goofing off. Wasting your life. Proverbs 20, verse 4. The sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold. Therefore shall he beg in harvest and have nothing. You know, a bank, anybody's going to, you know, give somebody a loan. Okay, you want me to give you a loan. What are you doing with your money? Why are you asking me? What did you do with what you have? Oh, nothing? I'm not sure I'm going to invest in you. Go work first. Have you been paying attention? Have you been taking notes? At least mental. Because class is never out of session. And how you've been listening right now and what you intend to do with what you've heard and how you've been preparing to use what you heard has a lot to say about whether you are learning the lesson being taught to you from this very scripture. Don't be lazy students who miss the lesson taught by the example of good workers. Are you studying to show yourself approved? Don't be lazy students who miss the lessons taught by the example of good workers. Verse 6. Go to the ant, thou sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise. Notice this is not an option really or a suggestion. For the Christian, it certainly isn't. You are commanded to stop and study. A good example, and follow it. Go see how the ant acts to be just like her. And what is she? Wise. We were reading through the second book. My daughters especially were eager to get to the second book of Pilgrim's Progress. This is Christiana and the boys now on their way to the Celestial City. And John Bunyan, talking as the narrator, says he comes into contact with the first man who's going to give him great wisdom on what he's seen happen, what he saw happen in her life, and what's happening now. It's going to help him understand what's really going on. His name is Mr. Sagacious, or Sagacity. Had to look it up. As I usually do every time I come across that word, I won't tell you what I thought it was. You can have a good laugh with my family later. Sagacious means shrewd, extremely wise and discerning. And so we see is the ant. Now, the grasshopper and most of the world's laughing at her. You know, all work, no play makes Jack a dull boy. Don't you know that? But she's wise, actually, the scripture says. You want to study her so you'd be just like her. And what is she? Wise. And how will you be just like her? By acting just like her. And what is she? She is a self-manager. She is a visionary, and she's a hard worker that completes her work. Command, though, who's being addressed here? The sluggard. The sluggard is the one being spoken to. The sluggard is the person who looks more like a sloth than an ant. We've talked about sloths before, right? I think I saw a video of a sloth being born recently. No, there's a there's a really funny commercial, and I can't remember which company. I think I might know, but it's people adopt a sloth. Have you seen this commercial? It just comes to mind. It's a great illustration of what not to be. The sluggard. They've adopted this baby sloth, and they're complaining because no matter what they do, this thing just sleeps. They're really disappointed. They're all excited, but you know, every scene comes back to the sloth, and it's either hanging or it's like this on the floor, you know. It's never doing anything. Not a child that they can enjoy. That's what a sluggard is, more like a sloth than an ant. Unmotivated, inactive, and the biggest issue, fruitless. They turn on their bed like a door on its hinges, but that's about all the movement you can count on them for. Proverb 26, verse 14 talks about the sluggard that way. They turn on the hinge back and forth on their bed. That's about all they're good for. The Proverbs often warned the sluggards. I had to really stop. I mean, there were so many Proverbs telling sluggards to stop being stupid sluggards. I just couldn't give them all to you. But that's telling us something, isn't it? That's telling us that the Scripture knows, rather God knows, that our natural fallen disposition that we still have to keep beating down, even as redeemed saints, is slothfulness. If there's that many Proverbs about sluggards, then that means that's a commentary on humanity. And any manager will tell you that is a very accurate assessment. What the Proverbs teach us is that the status quo is slothfulness. The sluggard needs to roll over and look at the ant next to his head. It's going to take a nap. Roll over at your little picnic and look at the ant on the hill and start to learn from him. Get up and do something. Produce something. Now, this is a humbling comment when you think about it. Images of God, which is what men and women are, though broken and shattered, yet are images of God. They should not need to be instructed from tiny insects. You see what a humbling thing it is? We're being called sluggards, our natural disposition. We should not have to look all the way down on the ground, this tiny little bug, to figure out how we're supposed to act in life. But we obviously do need to. The ants preach to us, you're lazy. And you, of all of God's creation, are the last that should be lazy. This is the why of the warning. Sluggard, it ain't going to go well for you. And that's the following verses, 9 to 11. How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep, so shall thy poverty come as one that travaileth, and thy want as an armed man. That's in contrast to the ant. She's got everything she needs. She's taking care of her family. The sluggard, notice how often, wake up, wake up, pay attention, focus. Okay. My next Norman Schwarzkopf illustration. At the 101st Airborne in Fort Campbell, Kentucky, he made this observation. Again, he said, sometimes you learn about good leadership by watching bad leadership. Here's what he says. To my surprise, the best company commanders were the ones who could carry out a bad order when necessary. When it was announced, for example, that the four-star general in charge of all army units in the lower 48 states was coming to visit our battle group, every company was ordered to repaint its barracks building, whether it needed it or not. I don't care if you just painted it yesterday. Go paint your barracks. We've got a big shot coming. And actually, all the commanders complained at first. We don't need to paint the barracks. He wasn't going to move on it. So here's the contrast to pay attention to and the result. He goes on to say, goes on to write, the commanders of the three good companies went back to their units and executed the order as if they'd thought of it themselves. They told the men, okay, guys, we got a new mission. And that is to get our barracks in shape for the general. Let's show him who's the best company at Fort Campbell. The troops got their buckets and brushes, and in no time the walls glistened with fresh green paint. Meanwhile, the commanders of the other four companies kept trying to change the colonel's mind until he threw them out. Then they told their men, the general is coming. And battle group says, we got to paint the building, even though it doesn't need it. The troops, in turn, worked lackadaisically. Since the commander had wasted so much time fighting the order, they ended up having to spend their weekend slopping on paint while the troops of the good commanders were downtown having fun. Go to the end. You know, my dad used to say this for years. It's always stuck with me. I thought of it constantly in the workplace, and frankly, I still think of it quite a bit serving church. People are incompetent. He said that all the time. People are incompetent. But I've come to realize that's not really the problem. People are capable of getting work done. Problem is, it's not so much that people are incompetent. People are just plain out stinking lazy. And that's the truth. People are pretty much sluggards. People are lazy. People are nothing like ants, sad to say. Here's something I teach my children. They could probably recite it to you if I asked them to. Here's one of our mantras in the Van Leeuwen home. You're not done until you're done. And they do pretty much have, you know, I go around with the white glove, not literally, but pretty much. So one of the things I've said, I think I've told you before, okay, before I go look at it, am I going to think it's clean? I'll come back. But what do I tell them? Here's what I tell them. Look, I am training you so that you can keep a job. I am training you to be self-sufficient. I am training you to be able to advance at work. I don't want you to end up like... It's my job as your commanding officer to train you to be hard workers, and you are not done until you're done. The whole job needs to be done, and on time, go back and get it done. And you are not doing anything else. Sometimes I have to make them get up. And I'm not meaning to embarrass my kids. They're like all kids. That's what parenting's about. My kids are hard workers. You know that. They just did a fundraiser of their own initiative last week. I had nothing to do with it, although the mother helped a lot. So I honor them. They're hard workers. But partly, why are they hard workers? Because I make them be hard workers. You're not done until you're done. That should be your mantra. Where did I learn this? From watching my dad. I have never seen a harder worker in my life. Whether it was where he worked for his employment or in the home, I have never seen such an untiring worker who never stopped until he got the job done, including getting my birthday bike ready all night long into the morning. Which is why I found myself getting Abraham's skateboard for his birthday late into the wee hours of the morning, and I thought, I'm just like my dad. I was kind of laughing. He would stay up all night, you know. I've learned it from him. I have observed his behavior. The only person that I think could come close to challenging my dad's work ethic is my brother, who owns his own company and is extremely successful because he's an enormously hard worker. And let me tell you, you know, one of the biggest things he deals with as an owner of a company now, a co-owner, by the way, if he isn't, and I'm going to brag a little bit, but I'm mainly bragging his work ethic. If he isn't, and he's my little brother, if he isn't now, he will shortly be a millionaire. Because he works hard. You know what one of his biggest challenges is? His employees, who take for granted what he has invested and sacrificed and painstakingly worked for with his partner. And they take it all for granted. Don't ever be, now this I'm speaking figuratively, but I know some of you work for unions. Don't ever have it said of you, it's good enough for union work. Don't ever have that said about you. Ever. Have it said, wow, man, that gal, they work like ants. Beloved, be not slothful in business, but fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Romans 12, verses 10 to 11. Hebrews 6, verses 11 to 12. Every one of you show the same diligence. to the full assurance of hope unto the end, that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Proverbs 13, verse 4, the soul of the sluggard desireth and hath nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made fat. Proverbs 21, verses 25 to 26, the desire of the slothful killeth him, for his hands refuse to labor. He coveteth greedily all the day long, but the righteous giveth and spareth not. I submit to you that Elder Ron Renner could be called Ant-Man Renner. And I'm not thinking of the movies. I haven't seen them. I know they're out. I don't have time to watch all those stupid movies. Waste of time. I don't get enough work done when I do that. I think we can call Elder Renner Ant-Man Renner because he is always working. I don't think anyone would even think to argue with me. He's the hardest worker in this church. And I submit to you, I see a lot more than you do working with Session. You don't even realize how hard he works. He's always working, and he is always studying the ant. I mean, literally. He keeps telling me all the time, hey, study this next ant. I'm constantly studying the ant. So here's a few other observations of Ant-Man Renner for you. Are you going to be wise and blessed like him? He's in a position of high authority. Has done well for himself and his family. Yeah, are you going to listen, or are you already falling asleep thinking about tomorrow or what you're going to watch when you get home tonight? Here's one of his observations. An observation at work. He said there were three managers that he observed. He watched them. They were all vying for a promotion. Two of them tried to manipulate their way to that promotion. One of them just did the work and did it hard. And got it done. Naturally, that's the guy that got the promotion. The guy that actually worked. Go figure. His other observation, more on anthills. He says, you know, you just never see them taking a break. One time, he says, I saw this ant tirelessly spinning this big leaf that he couldn't hardly fit down the hole. He just kept spinning and spinning. He would not be deterred. He would not stop. He made no excuses. He just kept spinning and spinning that leaf till he finally got it to spiral down the hole. Finally got that thing to fit. Another illustration. He was looking at an anthill, and this anthill was near the flowering bush. Well, that's probably not by accident. That's the ant being wise again. Hey, let's live close to work. Quick commute, eh? You know, and then we can get more time done at work while we're there. Not so much worry about commuting. He says, you know, this was the amazing thing he noticed. He saw these ants. They loved to eat those little flowers off the bush. Not only were they had their mound near the bush, and they're constantly going out and getting those little flowers and bringing them down into the anthill. They came back up the anthill with the chaff of those flowers and piled them outside the house. They put them in a neat pile outside the ant mound. You see, ants are organized. Ants are responsible. Ants are diligent. Ants are active. Ants never run out of what they need. And ants always, always, always improve their situation. Act like ants. O Lord God in heaven, we recognize that we are often sluggards. We act like sloths. Tomorrow, God helping us, we will go act like ants. In Jesus' name we pray. All the people said, Amen.